Today's shiur is Masechet Shavuos, Daf Lamed Vav. We will begin on Daf Lamed Vav, Amud Aleph, the fifth line. Amar Rav Huo Minayin La'ola Shishvua. How do we know when the Torah uses the word Ola means a Shavua? Shnemar, the Pasuk says in Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar took Yoyachin, who was the king of Klal Yisrael, and all of his ministers took him to Bavel, because they had rebelled against him. And he had appointed Tzidkiyahu, who was the brother of Yoyachin, to replace Yoyachin. And the Navi Yecheskel says regarding Tzidkiyahu that he will ultimately be punished, because Nebuchadnezzar made Tzidkiyahu swear to be a very low-level king and not to do anything that would give him extra power or extra prestige. And what happened was Tzidkiyahu rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and he asked the king of Egypt to send to him horses and people, soldiers, to join in a war. So that as he would violate the deal that they had between them, he would be able to run away. So the Pasuk Yecheskel, which speaks about Tzidkiyahu, uses the word Ola. And the Pasuk, that Pasuk says, V'yikach mezer ha'melucha v'yikach ita bris v'yosa be'ola. Nebuchadnezzar made an Ola with Tzidkiyahu, and it says regarding Tzidkiyahu, V'gam b'melech bava morad ashashbi alakim. We see that he violated the Shvua. Where do we see that Ola is called a Shvua? Because we see that he had an Ola, and then we see that he violated that shvua. The Mefarshim ask that we find in the Torah the episode with Eliezer and Avram, that Avram asked Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak, and the Pasuk says, V'hishbi'ani Adoni lema l'sikach ish l'bni b'nois k'nani. And then the Pasuk says, V'im loy yitnu l'chob. When Eliezer and Avram had the conversation, Avram told Eliezer, V'im yitnu l'chob v'tia v'yisa noki melosei. So we see that it's considered a shvua. So why don't we bring a raya from that pasuk that Ola means a shvua? It says, so the achronim say that certainly Ola means a shvua. The question is, does Ola mean something besides the shvua? Is there shvua and Ola, or is there just Ola is just the shvua? So the is, and then that's why there's no raya from the story of Eliezer, because it could be there was a shvua and it's described as an ola. We want to find a place where the shvua and ola are separate. Tana says the Gemara, we learn at Braisa that ola has in it nidui. Nidui means a cherim. It has in it klala. It means cursing somebody. And la shvua, and also includes, it also includes a lashon shvua. Nidui, how do we know that it means nidui? The ksiv. The pasuk says that when there was the war in Shoftim, the pasuk tells us when there's a war between Barak and Sisrai, the pasuk says, "Oror merois, omer malach Hashem, oror yoshev." Some explain that oror merois was a star, and it was the mazel of Sisrai. The mazel of Sisrai was the star merois. And the pasuk says that Merois, the star of Sisrai, that means the power of Sisrai, was going to be cursed. Another pshat that the pasuk means Merois was a great individual who should have come to help Klal Yisrael in their battle in Sisrai, and he didn't, and that's why he's cursed. Another pshat is that Merois was a city that was nearby, and that city could have also come to help Klal Yisrael, but that city again refused to be of help to Klal Yisrael. So we see that the pasuk says Oror, and it means that they should be put in Chayim. How do we know? Because Omer Ula Ba'abamei Shipuru Shamta Barak L'Merois. Barak, who was the general in the time, they used to put a person into Cherim they used to blow with a shofar, and they used 400 shofars because of the serious sin that he did. That's why he put him into Cheirim, and he put him to Cheirim in such a significant way. And I saw the Pasuk says that they didn't come Ezra Hashem b'gabayrim. What does it mean, Ezra Hashem? That he does a Kadosh Baruch Hu need anybody's help? But Ezra Hashem means that whoever helps Klal Yisrael is considered like he helped the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if somebody is not prepared to help Klal Yisrael, it's as if he's not prepared to help Klal Yisrael. We said further that Aror carries with it a Lashon Klala. How do we know that Aror carries with it a Lashon Klala? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, as Klal Yisrael went over the Yarden, and they came to Har Grizim and Har Eva, which are on the Shomron, 6 Shvatim went up to the top of Har Grizim, and the other 6 Shvatim went to the top of Har Evel, and the Kahanim and the Levim and the Oren were standing in between these two mountains, and the Kahanim stood around the Oren, and the Levim stood around the Kahanim, and Klal Yisrael, as they're standing on the mountains, the Levim turned around to Har Grizim, and they said, Baruch Ish, Ashlo Yasa Pasel Masecha, and everybody responded, Amen. Then they turned around to Har Evel, and they said, Ora Ish, Ashiyasa Pasel Masecha, and everybody said, Amen. And that's how they continued until they finished all the brachas and klolas that are mentioned in the Pasuk. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Ve'elu Yamdu ala klola b'Har Evel, Ruvain, God v'Osher, Zvulun Dona Naftali. The Ksiv in the Pasuk afterwards says, Ora Ish Ashiyasa Pesel. So we see, and that's how it continues, as we just said. So we see that Ora is a Lashon of Klola, because those are the people that were Yamdu ala Klola. We also said that Ora contains a Lashon Shvuah. The Ksiv Yishva Yeshua Beisahi Lamer, Ora Ish Lefnei Hashem. The Pasuk tells us that when Klal Yisrael came to Etz Yisrael, Yeshua made them make a Shvuah that they're not allowed to build the city of Yericho. And what happened was, this Achan violated it, Ora Ish, and the Pasuk says the word Ora Ish. The Dilmatata of Elohu, maybe he shvued it. Who says that he did that? It's all included, that Ora means a shvua. Dilma, maybe what he did was, Ishbin Valtinu, he make them swore, and he also cursed them. How do we know that Ora is the Lashon Shvuah? Elam Hocha says, we bring it from the Raya, when Shaul went to war with Plishtim. The Pasuk says, Vish Yisrael Nigash B'yomahu, V'yol Shaul Esa'om Lema Ora Ish Ashiyoichel. Because they were in war, Shaul told them nobody's allowed to eat. And the Pasuk says, V'ksiv, Yonason, Shaul's son, Lo Shoma Bashbiya Ovi Esa'om, he wasn't aware of that Shvuah. And he took his stick that he was walking with, and he put it into some honey, and he put the honey into his mouth, and his eyes lit up because he was suffering from malnutrition. And the question is, where do we find in the Pasuk that he made a shvua that they're not allowed to eat? Says the Gemara, the proof is from the Pasuk says, Ora Ish Ashayachal. So we see that shvua, we see Ora is considered a Lashon shvua, and that was the shvua that he had made them, that he made Klal Yisrael made. V'dibah ha'chanami tarta avil hu. So again, ask the Gemara the same question. Maybe they did two things. Ashbinu v'latinu, making a shvua and an oror as well. Says the Gemara, miksiv v'oror. If the Pasuk says, if he would have said v'oror, so then indeed we could say there were two separate things. There was a shvua and an oror. The fact that there's no prefix of a vav in front of the oror is very much an indication that these are two separate things. These are all one. So now says the Gemara, the fact that there's no vav is clearly an indication that it means two separate. That means one thing. Hasam Nami, when we spoke about Yeshua and we wanted to bring a rai from Yeshua, and the Gemara's question was, well, how can we have a rai from Yeshua? Maybe they were two separate things. Again, there's no rai. The answer is there doesn't say va'orur. If it would have said va'orur, indeed, it would be an indication of two separate things. But the fact that it doesn't say Oror, it doesn't say V'Oror, it's an indication that Oror and Shvuah is one and the same. Amr Yosef Rav Chanina, Amen. When you use the word Amen, Shvuah, If somebody says the Amen, as we've learned a number of times in our Masechta, if somebody says Amen after he hears a Shvuah, it's as if he said a Shvuah himself. But when somebody says Amen, it's Kabbalah's Dvarim. If somebody makes a stipulation with somebody else and he attaches an Amen to that stipulation, that means the person's accepting upon himself that stipulation. And Amen also has in it Yesh Bai Hamanas Dvarim. It means the truth. And therefore, if we hear somebody say a tefillah or somebody say a bracha, the right thing to do is to say Amen afterwards, because we're saying that we're hoping that what you're davening for will happen. So now the Gemara again proves each one. By Shvur, where do we see Shvur? The Ksiv, by the Parsha Saita, the Kohen, after the husband brings his wife, the Saita, to the Beis HaMikdash, makes a swear. And the Pasuk says that after the Kohen makes the Shvur of Amen Isha, Amen, Amen. So we see that saying Amen is the equivalent of saying, is the equivalent of saying a Shvur. Amen has in a Kabbalah Tvarim, the Ksiv, when Klal Yisrael, that we just discussed, passed the Yardin and they made the brachos of Klalus, the Pasuk says, Ora Shalom Yochim is Divrei Torah Azois, Lasis Oisom, and the Pasuk says, Amen. By Klal Yisrael saying Amen, they accepted upon themselves all of the brachos and Klalus that were recited there. Amen has in it Hamanas Tvarim, the Ksiv, when Hananya said Nevuah about the Kli HaMikdash coming back from Bavel, V'yomer Yirmiyah, Amen Kenyasa Hashem, Yakim Hashem Es Dvaracha, Asher Nishbeisa, Lavi Kli Beis Hashem V'kol HaGoyim Mibavel HaMakim Hazeh. So we see that there was a tremendous bracha given here, that the Kalim should come back, and the reaction was that he said Amen, which is the same when we hear a bracha, we should say Amen. Amar Belaza, if somebody says lav, the halacha is it's treated like a shvuah. Hain, if somebody says the word hain, it's considered like a shvuah. Says Amar Bishlam alav shvuah, that we say the lav is a shvuah. The ksiv, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a treaty, made a bris with Noach after the Mabel. The pasuk says v'chati es brisi shebeini ubeneichem ubein kol nefesh chaya v'chol basa v'lo yiyah oid mayim v'abel l'shachas kol basa. The ksiv, that the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a shvuah, they will not bring a mabel again. Says the Gemara, so he said v'lo yeh mabel, that's the shvuah. Ella, hey, so we see clearly that lav means a shvuah. But says the Gemara, Ella hein, that was saying when you say yes, it also means a shvuah menalon. And says the Gemara svaru, it's a logical conclusion. Midalav shvuah, if lav is considered a shvuah, then obviously hein is also considered a shvuah as well. But, says Rava, Amar Rava, when do we say that lav is considered a shvuah? V'hu d'amar lav lav trei zimni. If the word lav was said twice. Or, v'hu d'amar trei trein zimni. If the word train was, yes, was said twice. The ksiv, the pasuk says, v'lo yikaris kabasa oid mimei hamabel. And then the pasuk says v'loye mayin lamabel. So we see that the Kadosh Baruch Hu used the word loy twice. Only because he used the word loy twice is it considered a shvuah. And since we just learned, says the Gemara, that the halacha of yes travels together with the halacha of loy, so in the lav trei zimni, if by saying lav twice it becomes a shvuah. So hain nami, saying hain twice also makes it a shvuah. Says Tosfos that somebody who says lav lav, it's not considered a full-fledged shvuah. It's just somewhat of a shvuah, and therefore one should be careful about it. The Ramban says different, that lav lav is considered a full-fledged shvuah, and it is considered a full-fledged shvuah. The question is that the Rishonim debate, if one violates that shvuah b'mezid, would there be Chi of Malchus? The pasuk says in Malachi, "Kani Hashem lo shenisi, va'atem bnei Yaakov lo chalisi." The pasuk says in Tetachacha that Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "Va'apam zois b'yosim be'eretz oveim loy me'astem loy galtem lechaloisim lehofi brisi itom." Hakadosh Baruch Hu said the word "loy loy" twice. What was the Kadosh Baruch Hu Kavyochel intention by saying the word Loi twice? He was making a shvua, they will never eradicate Klal Yisrael. And that's what the Pasuk says the Gra. Kani Hashem Loi Shanisi. Ani Aya Kadosh Baruch Hu Loi, the word Loi, I said twice. And therefore, because I made this shvua by saying Loi twice, that Klal Yisrael will not be completely eradicated, that's why you could be confident that you, Klal Yisrael, will remain forever. I saw Rabengus explains, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Kimei noyach zoisli, ashe nishbati ma'aver mei noyach oid ala oritz, kei nishbati meketzef loch o megabach. What's the connection between the Mabul that the Kadosh Baruch Hu made a shvur regarding the Mabul and the Kadosh Baruch Hu saying that he would not destroy Klal Yisrael? Says Rabengus, the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu said by the Mabul the word Loi twice, and we've been learning in our shir from that a Kadosh Baruch Hu said the word Loi twice, it becomes a shvur. So therefore, once we know that Loi is repeated twice, it means a shvur. So that's how we could understand that Klal Yisrael will not be destroyed, because regarding the existence of Klal Yisrael, it also says the word Loi twice. The Rav Engel in the Shas Chuvos Marash Engel is asked, what there was a woman who was not well, and while she was not well, she said a number of times that she's not going to go back to her seat in a shul because she was in a dispute with a neighbor. The question is that considered a shvua? So he makes a very important point that even though we're learning in our Gemara that saying Loi twice or saying Hain twice is a shvua, it's only a shvua if you intended that it should be a shvua. But as you said it, you had no intention into making it a shvua, then it's not considered a shvua. So when she said it, it wasn't with the intention on making it a shvur, so it's not considered a shvur. The Sefer Merafs and Igra says that the Piyut Aseres Bat Asara Arugei Malchus, that we speak about the 10 great Tanoim that were killed by the Romans, we say it on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, we say there, On Sabaskol Meshmayim, if the Baskol came out from Shemayim and said, Em Eshma Koil Acha, if I'll hear another word, Epech Esa Oilam Lamayim, if anybody complains, the Pasuk says, the Piyut says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to turn over the world. And the question is, we just learned in our Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a shvua that he's never going to bring a Mabul again. Says Rav Chaim Kanievsky that when it says, Epech Sa'olam Lamayim, it's going to be bringing back the world to where we looked when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. For Aretz Hayis Atayu V'Avayu. So it doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring destruction. He's just going to bring back the world to the way it was. But then I saw another pshat, that what, even though he made a shvur, the shvur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself can be made for that shvur. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying here, I will not bring even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a shvua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if people will complain about the Sara Arugei Malchus, I'm going to be shoyel in my shvua and then be able to bring a Mabul. Another pshat that many suggest is that when we speak about the Mabul, as we learn Parshas Noach, the Mabul was brought in very specific form. So that halacha, that type of a Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a shvua that he will never bring such a Mabul again. But it has nothing to do with turning over the world in a different fashion. We learned in the Mishnah, how Mekal B'Kulon, if somebody uses any of these Shemus or Kanuyim, Chayiv Divra Meya, V'Cham and Poitrim. Tan Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, Ish Ish Ki Kalav Elikov V'Nosachetav. Ma Tam Eloimer, what does this Pasuk come to teach us? Asked the Brice. V'Loikva Nemer, isn't there another Pasuk that says, V'Noikov Shem Hashem, Mois Yumas? Yochel answered the Gemara, if we only had that pasuk, we would think lo yechayiv el Hashem hamayuchad, that you only chayiv for cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas v'shalom when you use the Shem hamayuchad, bilvad. Menayel rabbis is a kinuyim. How do you know that this halacha applies if you use one of the kinuyim? Tamalaymer, ish ish ki kala lakov for nasai chaitav mekamakim. Any shame that you used was considered a violation of this aver divrameya. Chamaimrim al shame hamiyuchod. If somebody uses shame hamiyuchod in cursing a kadosh baruch rachman atzlan, there's a chiyuv misa val kenuyim. If somebody uses one of the kenuyim, then there's no chiyuv misa. But he's over alav. The halacha follows the opinion of the chachamim that only by the shem hamiyuchad is there a chiyuv misa. If somebody uses a kinui, rachman son the curse Hashem, it's a chiyuv malchus, but not a chiyuv misa. Rashi explains that what is the definition of a shem hamiyuchad? It refers to the shem hamafirish. That means nothing else. The Rambam disagrees with Rashi and says that there's a chiyuv misa where he uses the shame of Farish Yud Kei Vav Kei, or he uses the shame of Aleph Daled Nun Yud. The Brisker Rav explains why, according to the Rambam, is the Adnos included in the shame of Farish, because he quotes the Gemara in Masechta Kedushin Daf Ein Aleph Amen Aleph. The pasuk says Zeh Shmi LaOlam Zeh Zichri LaDar V'Dar, that we learn from that pasuk that we're not allowed to pronounce the shame of Farish Yud Kei Vavke. Rather, the way we pronounce Yudke Vavke is with Aleph Dalet. Says the Brisker Rav that indeed the Rambam agrees with Rashi that the Shema Yuchad means the Shema Mefirish. But since the Pasuk teaches us that the proper pronunciation for the Shema Mefirish is Aleph Dalet Nud Yud, so what the Pasuk is teaching us is, says the Brisker Rav, that Aleph Dalet Nud Yud is the equivalent of the Shema Mefirish. So if we're learning that there's a chiv of cursing a Kadosh Baruch Hu with the shame of a farish, it would extend to the shame of Aleph. It would extend to the shame of the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud as well. Makal Avivimai, if somebody curses a parent, again we have the same machlokes from Meir and the Chachamim. Opinion of Rameyer is that if you used the shame of a farish or one of the kenuyim mechayiv, the Chachamim Poitrim. Ask the Gemara Manach Chachamim, who is the Chachamim that hold that if you curse a parent to one of the kenuyim, the potter, says the Gemara, it's Rav Nachman Bar Yosi. The Tanya Rav Nachman Bar Yosi, Omer, the pasuk says, "V'noikav Shem Hashem Mois Yumos, Yirogim, Yirgim Vabar Kol Edom, Kiger Keezer B'nikav Shem Yisem, Shem Yumos." The question is, why does the pasuk use the word "B'nikav Shem"? What's the need for the word "Shem"? The teacher Slimad that Kol Makala Ovev V'Imoi, there's some Rechman Slon curses a parent, shenachayv at shikalim b'shem, if you only use the shem amyuchad. We learned further in our Mishnah, mekala atzvoy b'chaveroy, if somebody curses himself with one of the shemus or with a kenuyim, he's over a loisa say. So we just had a machloikis, remain the chachamim, when one curses a parent. Says the Gemara wants to know, does that machloikis also apply in this situation? Amar b'yayane, says Rabbi Yanai, when we speak about cursing oneself or cursing another being, human being, they're very hakol. Everybody agrees that the halach is that yechayv even with a kinui, yechayv alav. Atzmai. So ask the Gemara, we discussed this when we learned the Mishnah, that where do we know that there's an issa to curse yourself? The ksiv, the pasuk says, that one has to be careful. Rakishamul choshma nafshich ma'oid. You have to be careful about yourself. And if you're cursing yourself, you're not being careful about yourself. How do we know that this represents a laugh? He taught us and how do we know you're not allowed to curse somebody else? And that means that you're not allowed to curse somebody else. There's a machloikis rishonim. If one violates this lav, the Gemara just called it a lav. The question is, if one violates the lav, do you get malchus or not? The Rishami says you don't get malchus because it's a lav she'ein by ma'isa. But there are other Rishonim that suggest that you do get malchus. The Mefarshim also point out that these are two separate lavim. So if somebody at the same time curses himself and curses somebody else, it would be considered two that he certainly violated two lavim, and maybe it would also be concerned, you get two separate malchus. There are others that however disagree that this is two separate, that this is all included in one lav, and it wouldn't be considered two separate averus. The Mishnah said, if somebody said Yakha Hashem Elkim, but Yachim Elkim, Zu Olak Subatira. Says the Gemara, Yasser Kahana Kamed Rav Yehuda. Rav Kahana was learning by Rav Yehuda. Yasser Kamer Hamas Nisan Kretanan. That our Mishnah, he learned the Mishnah as it's taught. Yachal Shevel Kim, Yachal Kim. Amale Kane, says the Gemara, don't say the Mishnah the way it's stated. Yachal, because you're cursing me. If we're learning together and you use that word, it sounds like you're cursing me. You should say Yakeu Hashem or Yakeim. Says the Gemara, a similar story. Yosef when Rabbanu Kamed of Kahana. There was somebody sitting in front of Kahana, Yosef Kamar. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Gam Kel Yitotzcha Lenetzach, Yachtecha V'Yosachcha Me'oil, V'Shereshcha Me'eretz Chaim Sela, that you will be completely wiped out. Amalei, and again, Rav Kahana said to the person who was quoting that Pasuk, Kanei, turn around the words of the Pasuk, don't say Yitotzcha, because then when you're reading the Pasuk in my presence, you're cursing me. So turn it around. So ask the Gemara, Tati Lamali. So this halacha is being taught to us twice. Why was it necessary to teach the halacha twice? It should have been enough to say one story and we would understand this halacha. Answers the Gemara, Mata Tema, Hani Mili Masnisen. When we're learning a Mishnah, that's when the halacha is that we should turn the words around. Ava Bekroi. But we're talking about a pasuk, so we have to keep the pasuk accurate, and therefore we're not allowed to modify it. Kamashman, that he held it even by a pasuk, we should turn it around. The Mishnah said, "Ayach v'yivrach v'yitavlach remei v'chayi v'chama paitrim." So the Gemara is assuming that what's the reason for a mei is saying that yichayiv, because he says, "Ayach is a mechlal lava to shmeihein." Somebody says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu should not punish you if you say testimony on behalf." And the implication is that if you don't say testimony on my behalf, then you should be punished. But ask the Gemara, for less than Rav Meir, v'chal lava tishmei hein. We noted the opinion of Rav Meir, as taught in Masechta Kedushin, Daf Samach Aleph Amar Aleph, is the Rav Meir holds that when we have the halacha of Tanoim, when somebody makes a stipulation, the stipulation has to be extremely clear. And that's why Rav Meir says he has to be said with a Tanai Kafel, if you do it and if you don't do it, and we don't rely on any implication, as we find what Moshe Rabbeinu did when he made the Tanai, when he made the stipulation with the Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, that they're going to get their share in Eva Yarden, but it was very clearly indicated only if they will go out with Klai Yisrael to war, and the Pasuk says both ways. The Pasuk says that you have to go out, and what would happen if you don't go out? And Ramey is the one that says that that's critical when we speak about Tanoim. So we see that Ramey doesn't rely on implications. Answer the Gemara, Epoch. Because of this question, we have to turn around the opinions of our Mishnah. And we have to say that in our Mishnah, it's Ramey who holds that you have to, that you don't rely on implication. And the Chachamim say, we do. That says the Gemara, also Rav Yitzchak. When Rav Yitzchak came, he said, Tana Ketanan, we could keep the original gears of our Mishnah intact. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Hashta Danan Tanan Hachi. We learned the Mishnah, that Ramei is the one that holds it's a good Lashon of Shua. V'chiyos Rav Yitzchak, and when Rav Yitzchak said, Tanei Hachi, we should turn around the versions of the opinions of Mishnah. Shema Mino, Dafke Ketanan, that the Mishnah said, the fact Rabbi Yitzchak also said that Tzimamina Dafka Tanan, that the right girsa is our Mishnah. Elakasha. So if the right girsa is the way it says in our Mishnah, we're back to the original question where we see that Ramei and our Mishnah relies on making a diuk, and a Masech the Kedushin he doesn't. Answers the Gemara, Kileslei, where does Ramei say that we can't rely on that, the Mamayna, when it's a question about a financial issue? Av the surah, but when we speak about a surah, it is considered there. Ramea doesn't rely on making an application, and the way the Mashal explains by mammon, we see that the Torah was very careful in requiring a Tanai Kofel. What did the Torah teach us by requiring a Tanai Kofel? The Torah was teaching us that when we speak about Dinei Mominus, the need for clarity is critical. And therefore, relying on anything else besides absolute clarity is unacceptable. However, when we speak about Isura, there we don't have a precedent that the Torah is so specific about clarity. And since we don't have a precedent that the Torah is so makpid, that the Torah is so specific about it, so therefore it's not necessary. Of course, the question that comes up is, by Edom, we're speaking here about Edom. And we're saying by Edom, Ramei will say that clarity, that this type of serious clarity is not needed. But the question is, doesn't Edom is speaking about Mominus. So if Edom is saying testimony about something which revolves around financial, how could Ramei and our Mishnah rely on Mechlal Avat HaShemehein? So the Mefarshim explained that the Edom are not primarily coming to about Mominus. They're not coming about Mominus, they're not coming about, and they're just coming to say their testimony, which is Isser. They're supposed to be saying the truth. What happens or what they say in their testimony is not what's important. And therefore, therefore Ramei will hold that even though by Dinei Mominus, we don't rely on Mechlal Avat HaShemehein, Mechlal Hei Nat HaShemei Lav, by Edom we can rely on them. Ask the Gemara, but what about Isura? Saita the Isura who? And Vamrav Tanchem Bar Chnoi Hinoki Ksiv. The Gemara Masechta Kedushin says that the pasuk says by the Pasha Saita, Vesh Bi Oysa Akoin, Vama Al Isha Im Lai Shachav Ish Oysach, Vim Lai Sotis, Tach Tumatachs Isha, Hinoki Mimayim Hamar Me'elo. And the pasuk speaks in the positive, that if you are innocent, the Mayim HaMarim won't affect you in any way. The Pasuk doesn't say if Chas V'Sholem, what will be if it's the other way around, that if you're not innocent, you'll suffer, because we learn it by implication. So the Gemara over there asks, how could Rameya explain the Pasuk that way? Doesn't it say that means we're going to rely on Mechlal Lav HaTashmehei, Mechlal Hei HaTashmehei Lav? So Tanchum Bechnoi answers the question that the Pasuk says Hinoki without a yid. And it could be defined as Hinoki, you'll be pure, you'll be innocent, or Hinoki, you'll be choked. Tam deksiv Hinoki, halav hachi, b'chlal lav atashmehein. The Gemara did not want to say that Ramei is going to rely on b'chlal lav atashmehein lo yaminin, even though it's a situation of Isser. That Ela Epoch says the Gemara, we see from here the Ramei doesn't rely on Mechlal Avat HaShemehein even in the case of Isser. A mask of Levina, to which asked the Gemara Visura Leslei, does that true? Elamiata, the Pasuk said, the halacha is that if Kohanim did the avoid in the base of Migdash, Shisui Yayin, when they were intoxicated, or Puri Rosh, where they let the hair grow, the Misa, the Zechiv Misa, Hachnam de Leslei Rameya, will Rameya not say that we rely on Mechlal Lav HaTashmehein? But Tanya, the Brisa, teaches us, Elu Shevimisa, the halacha is that for these Averis of going into the base of Migdash to do the Avoida when you're Shesu Yayin, when you're intoxicated, or Puri Rosh, you let your head grow, Yechayiv Misa. And how do you know that? Because the Pasuk says, Yayin V'Sheikh Al-Tesht, the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Aaron, Yayin V'Sheikh Al-Tesht, Atav Anach Itach, so we learn from them, if you come in not in the improper way, you won't die. And we learn from there that if Chas V'Shalom you enter improperly, you will die. So we see that we do rely, even Ramei relies on Mechal Lav HaTashmehein. Says the Marla Olam Taipach, even though we have to turn around the gears of our Mishnah and say Ramei, it's not Ramei cannot say Yechayiv, because Ramei cannot say Yechayiv on a Mechlal Lav HaTashmehein, Kil Esle B'moina B'sura Isle. But B'sura Ramei agrees that we do say Mechlal Lav HaTashmehein, that's why he could say it by Shesu Yayin Puri Rosh. If that's the case, so why wasn't he satisfied saying that by soita as well, as the Gemara just said, because soita is surah dispe memoina. The soita is halacha that even though it's primarily about a husband and a wife, it also carries with it a mammon aspect. Will she or won't she get a ksuba? Now our Mishnah begins to be speaking about something that we've discussed in our previous year, Shvuas HaPikadon. And as we are going to learn, the point of a Shvuas HaPikadon is it's a situation where I have a claim to you that you're holding money that belongs to me. And actually, if we think about this halacha, it's not just limited to where I say that you're holding a Pikadon, you're holding an object that belongs to me. As we learned and we're going to learn, it refers to any situation where I have a claim that you're holding my money. It doesn't have to be a pikadon. But why does the Mishnah and the Gemara call this a shvuas pikadon? The answer is because the Torah, when it speaks about this type of shvuah, uses the word pikadon. That's why it's known as a shvuas pikadon. So it says the Mishnah shvuas pikadon, mehegas bein benoshim, by men and women, b'chaykim, b'krayvim, people are related or not, b'ksherim, b'psulim. It does all these limitations that we have by Shvuas Eidus do not apply by Shvuas HaKadon. B'fnei Bezdin, B'shloi B'fnei Bezdin, the Shvuas HaKadon takes place when the person lied with his Shvuah, where I said you have something in mind, and he denies. It doesn't make a difference if it took place in Bezdin or not in Bezdin. Mipi Atzmai, whether the person said the Shvuah by himself, or Mishba Be'echerim, or somebody else told him to make a shvua. But says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, when it was made by somebody else, Ayin Achayvat Shikren Bebezdin, Divir Ameya. The Chama's opinion is, Bein Mepi Atzma, Bein Mepi Acherim, whether it's the person made the shvua on his own volition, or he was put into that position by somebody else, the loch is, Kim Shekafer, as soon as the person lied with a shvua, the halacha is whether it was in Bezdin or not, he's going to be chayav karban shvua. So Rameyah makes a distinction between in Bezdin and out of Bezdin. Out of Bezdin, it has to be that where you made it on your own. In Bezdin, it doesn't make a difference. Chum don't agree to that distinction. The chayav al zodna shvua shigosoi, whether somebody realized what he did or whether he didn't realize, im zodna bikadon, as long as he knows that he's holding on to that money. That means if somebody didn't realize, wasn't aware that he was holding something that belonged to somebody else, then he's considered an oinus, he's not chayiv. My chayiv al zadoina, what is the punishment when somebody deliberately made such a shvua falsely? Asham, he has to bring a carbon asham, and the value of the carbon asham has to be Kesef Shkolim. It has to be equal to the value of Shtei Sloim. Shvuas HaPikadon Ketzad. So the Mishnah explains how this works. Amalai. Somebody says to somebody else, Tainli Pigdoni Shiesh L'Biyotcha. You're holding something of mine. Give it back to me. And the other person responds, Shvuas Ein Lecha B'Yadi. I don't have anything of yours. Oh, Amalai Ein Lecha B'Yadi. Or Meshbiach. He just responds, I'm not holding anything of yours. And at that point, the person says to him, Mashbiach ani, are you ready to swear to it? And the other person says, Amen. That's considered a situation of Shvuas HaPikadon, and it's not considered a situation of Mushbim via Chayrim. Because once you say Amen, it's considered like you made the Shvuah yourself. Says the Mishnah, Hishbi'alach Chamish Palmim. If this conversation took place 5 times, Beim b'fnei Bezdin or Beim b'shloi b'fnei Bezdin, whether in Bezdin or not, and Kofar, and each time he was approached and said, you're holding something of mine, and he denies with a shvuah, then he's going to be chayiv a kolach s'achas. For each shvuah, he's going to bring that carbon oshem. Amar b'shem matam, why is that the halacha? Says the Gemara, m'nei sh'yoch l'achas l'hoidus. Whereas, when we spoke about a shvua, that shvua sa'edis, which takes place in Bezdin, and we've said when we learned that halacha, that the halacha is kivin shehigid, shuvei nechoyzo magid, once you said testimony, you can't say testimony again. So once you made such a shvua once in Bezdin, your power of saying anything is gone. So since your power to say anything is gone, there's no chiyuv for saying it more than one time. Whereas, when we speak about the halakha of Shavuos HaPekudim, Shavuos HaPekudim is not an edus. That by edus, as we're learning, there's a din of kivin shehigid, shuv einachayz of a magid. But by edim, by Shavuos HaPekudim, there is no halakha of kivin shehigid, shuv einachayz of a magid. And since there is no such halakha by Shavuos HaPekudim, if somebody said it and he keeps on making the shvua, even if he did it, even if he kept on making the shvua in Bezdin, it doesn't make a difference. The halacha is for every full shvua, you're going to be chayiv for the aveira of Shavuos HaPekudim. Continues the Mishnah. There are five people that have a claim against an individual. They all say to this person, give us what you're holding that belongs to us. And he responds, Shavuos She'ein Lecha B'Yadi. And he says, I don't have anything of yours, swears falsely, then the halacha is ein chayiv alachas, he'll only be chayiv once. However, if he mentioned every individual separately, he said, Shavuos She'ein Lecha B'Yadi V'Loi V'Lecha V'Loi L'Cha, he addresses every person individually, then he's chayiv alachas v'achas. V'leza Omer, he said, if he used the word shvua at the beginning of his comment, then indeed he'll be chayiv only one. But atchiyam shvua b'achroina. But if he said ein lecha biyadi, even if he had mentioned each person individually, but he used the word shvua at the beginning of his statement, then he's only going to be chayiv one. To be chayiv for each one separately, you have to have that he should say ein lecha biyadi v'loy lecha v'loy lecha. He has to mention each one separately. And he has to say the word shvua at the end. Rav Shimon says even more lenient. Just mentioning each person individually is not enough. He has to use the word shvua l'chol echad. Only when he uses the word shvua to each person separately will he be chayiv. Says the Gemara further, as we said at the beginning of our shir, it's not the shvua's b'kodin is not just limited to a case of b'kodin where I'm holding something of yours. It also applies in situations of other cases that I'm holding something of yours. So if it's a case of bikadin or halva or chumas yad. So bikadin means I'm holding something of yours, and halva means I borrowed from you. What is the difference, as we've mentioned in previous shurim, between a bikadin and a halva? A bikadin is something of yours that you asked me to hold, and I'm not allowed to use that object that you asked me to hold. Halva is where I borrowed something from you. But when I borrowed from you, the conditions were that I'm allowed to use it. And a chumas yad is another way of describing a halva. Gezel v'aveda sheyesh la biyotcha. You claim that I have all these different types of assets of yours that I'm holding. And my response is shvur she'en lecha biyadi. I don't have anything of yours. Then the halacha is ein chayiv ala achas. Shvur. But if the way the shvur was said, we mentioned each one separately, then the halach is chayiv kol achas v'achas. Another case where the person came to the person makes a claim. You're holding all these various things, and he responds, shvur she'en lecha b'yadi, I'm not holding anything of yours. Then the halach is chayiv kol achas. But if the response is said, he mentions each item separately, then chayiv kol achas v'achas. If the claim was, give me the chitim v'sarim v'kusmim, so it's considered as if each one was mentioned individually. So even when the person responds, he just says, ein lecha b'yadi, the halach is chayiv kol achas v'achas. Ta'anasto petitos biti. Somebody comes over to somebody else and says, you violated or seduced my daughter, that the halach is you have to pay chamishim kesef, you also have to pay boishes, the embarrassment, and the begam that you did to the girl. It's just not true. And he says to Mashbiach, I make you swear. So the halach is his chayiv, karben shvus bekodim. Rav Shimon says that there is no shvus bekodim, because the chamishim kesef that he's going to pay is a knas, And since if somebody admits to his knas, moida b'knas is potter, shem sham knas al pi atzmai, and therefore, even if it's true, he could get off the hook just by admitting. So that's why it's not considered as if he owes him the money. Amalei, so Chacham said to Rav Shimon, even if you're correct, api shein misham knas al pi atzmai, but the baishes begam is a monetary obligation. And the way to understand the difference between a knas and mamon is the knas is a fixed fine, no matter what the no matter with whom or what happened. Mamon is a, we look at the individual situation. What exactly were the damage? So baishes begam, we have to look at the exact story. Hakol fi mavayish. We look about who the person that did it and who the person that was the victim. But when we speak about, and that's why it's mamon. Knas is the chamishim kesef, which is the fixed chamishim kesef. So they said to him, even if you're right about the knas part, the baishes and begam is certainly mamon. Similarly, the nafta is shari, and you have to pay kefil when you steal something, double the value. Who am a loyga nafti? Mashbiach anev amma amen. Chayiv, he's chayiv. Ganafti, and he says, Ganafti, avaloy v'chati v'loy v'charti. I stole it, but I didn't sell it or kill it. Mashbiach anev amma amen potter, because that's a shvus b'kodin. Next case, if he says to him, Hey, mishorcha shori, your animal killed my animal. V'oyim elohim, so it didn't happen. And then he says to him, Mashbiach anev amma amen, that loch is chayiv. Because that's a financial obligation that everybody agrees that you have to, that you pay, you have to, that there's a din of shvus b'kodim. But if somebody says, hey, mishorches avdi, your animal killed my eved kanani, and there the Torah gives a fixed payment of shloishim kesef, v'oyim eloy hamis, mashbiach anev amen potter, because it's a case of knas. Amalei, chaval tabi, he says to me, you wounded me, v'sisa chabura, and you caused the wound, v'oyim eloy chaval tabi, it didn't happen. So then he owes him money for the damages he did, and that's why it's a case of shvur to be godim. Amma loy avdoi. If an eved kanani says to his owner, he palta shina v'simisis enei, you knocked out my tooth, you blinded my eye. Amma loy he palta v'loy simisi loy palta v'loy simisi. It didn't happen. Mashbiach v'amma amen potter, because the fact that Eved Kanani goes out when his owner knocked out his tooth or blinded his, or knocked out his eye is a knas. And by a knas, we're saying there's no shvus b'kodim. And therefore, the Gemara, the Mishnah summarizes. Zeh klal. Kol mishalom pi atzmai. Whenever somebody would have to pay, even if he admitted by himself, which is a case of mamon, that's when you're going to, if he lied, he's going to have to bring the korban asham. Ein mishalom pi atzmai. But if he admitted, he won't have to pay, which is the case of Moed B'Knas, Potter, that he won't have to bring the carbon oshon of Shuas HaBikadim.